Okay. Hello. All right. Welcome to Psalm 91 Dispatch. I'm your host, Ori Rehm. And today I'm going to be talking about prayer, fasting, and just kind of those things. I wanted to open up with some prayer just for protection and guidance right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just pray for the Holy Spirit to come and to guide me, the audience, in your word. And please reveal to us the secrets that you have hidden in the word. And please just guide the words that are coming out of my mouth. Help me to see what you are trying to teach in this lesson. And we just pray for protection, all those that are listening. And we just pray for warring angels to be sent to everybody who listens to this in the name of Jesus. And I just ask, Father, that you just bless the people, Father. I just ask that you bless them, especially in this time. We're going through a very difficult time in the world right now. There's a lot of fear going on. So, Father, we just ask that you just break this fear off of us. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I just bind and cage the fear right now, that spirit of fear. I come against that spirit of fear that's inside of you, and I break it off now in Jesus' name. It's broken off of you in Jesus' name. It's going to fall off. It's going to fall off of you in Jesus' name. For the Lord says in his word that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And, you know, this is one of the promises of God, you know. He gives us all these promises. And who is this God that I'm talking about? Well, he's the creator of all the universe. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the Most High God. He's beyond time and space. Who better to worship? You know, this God, he sent his only son to die on the cross for us. Isn't that wonderful? And we can have access to this wonderful, wonderful creator through his son, Jesus Christ. And the power of Jesus Christ is, you know, he gives us the Holy Spirit that witnesses to us, that teaches us. He's the counselor, right? So I wanted to start with Acts 13:2. So Acts 13:2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, there's something really interesting about this passage. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. That's really interesting. So, in my mind, when I look at this, they're saying basically that, you know, it's like when you go to minister with somebody on the street, you know, you're ministering to them. You know, you're talking to them about, you know, whatever worries they're dealing with, and you're ministering to that person at the time, you know, through the leading of the Holy Spirit. So they're ministering to the Lord, and they're fasting right now. So, you know, they're praying, they're fasting, and then it says the Holy Ghost said. So there's some spiritual wisdom in this passage. So how did they get to the point where they could hear the Holy Ghost clearly enough? Obviously, what they were doing, they were fasting, they were praying, they were ministering to the Lord. This is something that we can implement in our lives that'll help us to walk in the peace of God, to help us walk in the places and the purpose that God has for in our life. These are spiritual keys and wisdom. You know, when you fast, you're denying yourself of food. And we need food to survive. I've even heard of people doing a 40-day fast. Now, a 40-day fast it can kill you. I'll be completely honest. Like, if you try to do a 40-day fast, it most likely will kill you. This is something that is led by the Holy Spirit. And I want you to really hear me very clearly when I say that. I'm not telling you to go do a 40-day fast, okay? But I've heard of people doing a 40-day fast, a few people here and there. And man, did they witness the power of God in their lives. It's very powerful. I mean, even if you were able to do a whole day, that's really hard too. So many times I've tried to do a whole day and I've actually failed. I would get to about 3 o'clock. I would cave in. I was just like, oh man. But I was able to do, in a very desperate time, I was able to do a 3-day fast. I wasn't doing a whole lot of praying because I was in agony. It was so hard. But I will say this, it allowed the Lord to come in and really do some work in my heart that really needed to happen. So they were fasting and praying when they heard the Holy Spirit speak to them. So this is a spiritual key. They were speaking to the Lord. So they're most likely, asking him questions. And they knew the Lord on a personal level. So that's another context of the situation. Is I think we should all get to this place where we have a close relationship with the Lord so that we can hear the Holy Ghost when he talks to us. So Acts 13:2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So that's the spiritual key, fasting, praying, and having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the spiritual key, my friends. If we get to this place where we have a personal relationship with God Almighty, there is nothing that can come between you and God. You will be able to walk through the fires and the storms and praise him all the way through. So I want to read Joel 1:14. This is in the Old Testament. So Joel 1:14, sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. So it's basically saying, call upon the church, sanctify a fast, get the people together and be like, hey, let's call on a fast. Let's do this thing and we'll do it together. And I believe a fast is a lot easier when you do it with other people because, you're not just disappointing God. If you give up, you're disappointing all those other people. They're counting on you to get through this. Right. So I believe that's, there's some spiritual wisdom in this passage. Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry on to the Lord. So where's the house of the Lord? I mean, the house of the Lord, essentially, it's the church, but it can also be the temple of the Lord. So we are the temple of the Lord. So doing a fast with a bunch of people in your church, even a small group of people can be a very powerful thing because you can all get together and pray for a situation and fast for a situation. And, you're crying out to God, you're worshiping him. This could be for anything really. It's so powerful. It's so powerful. I have yet to do it with a group of people, but I know when I did a fast, it really kind of changed the game. It really did. It's not for the faint of heart, but I believe everybody should be doing this. This is, we're men and women of God. We should be doing these things. And it's not meant to be easy. It's supposed to be hard, right? You're denying your flesh. Because your flesh and your spirit are at war, right? Because your flesh wants the things of the world. It wants to eat. It wants all those fleshly desires. Your spirit, on the other hand, it wants the things of God. And it desires the things of God. It desires to have that close, intimate relationship with Jesus. So I want to go to another passage. This one is in Jeremiah 36:6. Therefore, go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. So it's talking about read in the roll. I'm thinking this is the word of God they're talking about, or maybe they're referring to the law. This is in the Old Testament. The words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house. So yeah, it's talking about, you know, getting the word of God in the ears of the people in the Lord's house. So in the church or at somebody's house, gathered together at the fasting day. So again, it's kind of telling you that, you know, as if we come together, if we fast and pray together, you know, we can break the power of the demonic realm. Because Jesus did say in his word that some of these demons or spirits, they only come out by prayer and fasting. And that was after Jesus got transfigured on the mountain. And he was, you know, he was in complete power at that moment. Like, he was fully powered up. He was basically a superhero. That's how I look at Jesus. He's like a superhero for me. Praise God. So we have access to this power through Jesus Christ. And this is part of the wisdom of the Word of God, is going into the Word of God and digging into it, asking the Holy Spirit to come and, you know, give us this knowledge. Show me, Lord, you know, show me, Lord, what am I missing here? And the Holy Spirit, He'll help you. He'll help you. You may not think that this is possible. You know, oh yeah, I'm just going to watch a YouTube video. But trust me when I say this, if you take out a concordance, if you download one on your phone, and you just look up one word that you're interested in. And for me tonight, it was fasting. So I just wrote down all the passages where fasting is in. And I didn't really do a lot of prep work, but I just want to show people how easy this is and how powerful it is. But as you go through each scripture that talks about fasting, you're going to get more and more information about fasting that's going to reveal secrets of the word. Okay, so now let's go to... Oh, I got Daniel in here. I also have Psalms. Kind of interested to see what the Psalms have to say. So Psalms 35:13. If you want, you can follow along in your Bible. I'm just using the King James Version for myself. Psalms 35. Yeah, fasting and praying, man. It's so awesome. Should actually really call a fast if some people would want to join me on here. I don't know, but that'd be really cool sometime to do that. There's a lot of power in that. Okay, so Psalms 35:13. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. That's such a beautiful scripture. He's just, you know, who is this? Yeah, this is Solomon David. So this is David speaking about the Lord. And he's talking about, you know, He's treating the Lord like he's his friend or his brother. And friends, I truly believe that, you know, as we get closer and closer to the Lord, he does become our friend and our brother. You know, he becomes more than that. And it's just incredible what he's able to do in our lives. Cause you know, it's really, we're just a vessel, right? That's all we are. We're just a vessel. But you know what, God has come down and died for his creation. There's only one I can think of. You know, the Father sent his Son and he died for his creation. That is the most beautiful thing in the world. It's the most beautiful story in the world. It's it just causes me to pause and think on it. But that's a really interesting scripture. And I'm actually going to mark that one down. I really like that scripture. Okay, Psalm 69:10. We'll go to that one. You know, we're just studying the Word of God, you know. We're asking the Holy Spirit to come in and to guide us. Guide us in understanding. Show us things that we haven't seen before. So, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sat in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. I noticed that, like, when he's talking about fasting, like, he was in sackcloth, and, like, I don't know, this must have been something they did when they fasted. And, like, if you've ever seen sackcloth, it's like, you know, it's like a sack of potatoes, basically, is how I look at it. So it's nothing pleasing to the eyes, that is for sure. So you're literally, you know, it says, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting. So he was in pain. He was really crying out to the Lord. He was really in his heart crying out to the Lord. And he was going through something at this time. And I think there's a lot of wisdom in this too, where, like, wherever we are in our lives, you know, are we running to the Lord or are we running to ourselves? Are we running to the Lord or are we running to ourselves? Because we know the story of David and how great he was. And the only reason he was great was because of the Lord. It was because he feared God. And God's going to do the same thing that he did in David's life, he's going to do in your life. I truly believe this. And that's part of our walk, friends, is faith. Is having faith to move mountains, having faith to believe in the impossible. You know, what's your impossible situation in your life that you think is, oh man, I don't know if I can do this, you know? I think we all have something like that in our lives where it's like this situation that we're facing and it's impossible, or we believe it's impossible. But with God, all things are impossible. Praise God. That's a scripture. Yeah. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. I know it is. I have it here somewhere. Yeah. So Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Love that. So I'm going to mark this one down too. And of course, I'm talking about fasting as I had a steak tonight, a big juicy steak. Like I should be talking, right? But this is something that's been on my mind a lot. And, you know, the more we learn about something, the more, you know, we can implement it in our lives. Praise God. Okay, so Psalms 109, verse 24. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. I became also a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shake their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, has done it. Let them curse, but bless thou when they arise. Let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice. Wow. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion, as with a mantle. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude, for he shall stand at thy right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. Yeah, he was definitely going through it at this point. A Psalm of David. He was fasting at this point. I mean, he was fasting to the point that his knees were weak and his flesh was just as faileth of fatness. So he didn't have a lot of fat on him, I guess. And when he was out and about, people looked at him with reproach and they shook their heads. So he was really going through it. And that's, you know, when we fast, you're going to be coming under spiritual attack. There's going to be spiritual warfare happening around you. And it's up to you to fight against the enemy. But you can also call upon the Lord, just like David did. He's saying, help me, O Lord. My God, O save me according to thy mercy. You can do the same thing. I can do the same thing. I think there's a lot of wisdom in this. I'm gonna do this next time when I fast. When I feel like I want to give up, I'm gonna try this. I'm gonna call to the Lord and say, "Help me, Lord. Help me push past this feeling. Push past, you know, my fleshly desires." Wow, these scriptures are really coming alive here. I'm really impressed already. Okay, now we'll get into Daniel. Daniel 6:18. Where are you? Looking for Daniel. Where are you, Daniel? Okay, I don't know where Daniel is. Oh, he's after Ezekiel. There it is. Okay, Daniel 6:18. And I understand, like, if you have a very busy job and you're not able to fast, I totally get that. I used to have a really busy job too, where I tried to do fasting and it would just make me dizzy. But if you're able to fast while you work, I highly recommend it. I mean, you're getting closer to the Lord, right? It's such a blessing for your life. Anytime you can deny your flesh, man, the Lord loves that. He loves that stuff. Because it's telling him that, you know, I want you more. I want you more, Father, than I want this food, right? I want you more than I'm sustaining my flesh. So Daniel 6:18. Oh, the den of lions. I don't know if this is yet or it's coming up. Oh yeah. Okay. I'm just gonna read from, let's see here. I'll just read from verse 17. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. That is just, you know, Daniel had such a relationship with the Lord, that the Lord sent one of his angels to shut the mouths of the lions. And I have personally, I've never seen a lion in person before, but I've seen them on the television and pretty scary, very intimidating. I mean, their roars. I've even seen a video of, there was a lion and it was surrounded by like, I think there was like 8 or 9 hyenas and they were just nipping at him. You know, they're just, he would go one way and they'd nip on his back. He turned the other way, they'd nip at his other back. And they just kept doing that over and over again. And then all of a sudden, this other lion come in and backed him up. And they were able to get out of that situation. But, you know, that's why the relationship with the Lord is so vital in these last days. Is when we have a relationship with the Lord, we don't have any doubt that he's going to deliver us from whatever problems we come into. You know, because the future is uncertain. Let's just be honest here. I believe with all my heart that, you know, Christians are going to be persecuted. We're going to be hated by all people. We're going to be locked up. We're going to be beaten, tortured. Some of us, you know, we'll be, you know, maybe we'll be able to be protected by the Lord through all these things, but we will definitely be persecuted. We will definitely go through persecution. There's no rapture coming to save you from that persecution. So, I mean, it's just all that more incentive to have a relationship with Jesus, right? And again, I'm going to mark this in my Bible because I think I'm going to write down all these scriptures about fasting because I think it's really interesting how they're starting to paint a picture now. So Daniel 9:3 is the next one. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So how many times did Daniel fast? Quite a bit. We've read 5 scriptures about him fasting in all different times. So, you know, Daniel was a man of fasting. We read 2 scriptures about Daniel, and then we read 3 scriptures about David fasting. So fasting is definitely a spiritual key in the Christian's walk. And I believe these men, I mean, they did it to get closer to the Lord, and they were rewarded for it. Such a beautiful, beautiful thing. Okay, so I have Matthew 15, verse 32. This is also about fasting. 15, verse 32. Okay. Faith of the woman of Canaan. Okay. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. So I'm getting a couple things out of this scripture. So all these people and Jesus were fasting before they ate. So they were all denying their flesh. Not only that, they were learning right from the mouth of Jesus. So he was, you know, he was speaking parables to them. He was teaching them spiritual, you know, secrets of the kingdom. So there's things involved here that's so incredible. So they were fasting, they were praying. It says 3 days. I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. So for 3 days, they didn't eat, but they were following Jesus. Isn't that incredible? Oh, praise God. And what happened? All of a sudden, Jesus is like, his disciples say, where are we going to get some food? There's not much bread in the wilderness. So then Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? They said 7 and a few little fish. And what happened? He fed a whole multitude. And one of the other lessons is he gave thanks. And who is he giving thanks to? He's giving thanks to the Father. So even if we're in that situation, if we're in a situation where, maybe we're going through it. Maybe we don't have a lot of food for our family. Maybe you're hungry right now. Maybe you're starving and you don't have enough food to feed your family. What can we do? We can step in faith just like Jesus did and be like, tonight we're going to have a wonderful feast. You can say that to your family and be like, we're going to have a wonderful feast tonight. We're going to have lots of food for everybody. And you can do that in faith. You can lift up the food and say, thank you, Father, for this food. Thank you for this bountiful feast that we are about to have. And what the Father will do, he will bless that, just like he did with Jesus and the multitude. He only had, a couple loaves of bread. No, he had 7 loaves of bread and a few fishes for, probably, if not hundreds, thousands of people. So it was a miracle. And God can do that in your life. And these are the things we're going to do in the end times. These are the things that, we could probably do right now if we had the faith. So 17 verse 21. Yeah, this is the transfiguration. This is what I was talking about earlier. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So he's talking about how, I think he's talking about, he's talking about, I'm going to go up higher here. Yeah, he's talking about that child that was demon possessed. Yeah, it says, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to my disciples, and they could not cure him. And then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And he basically said, because of your unbelief. And he also said that this one only comes out by prayer and fasting. So there's certain, there's certain demons that you won't be able to cast out unless you are praying and fasting. This is the spiritual keys. And he also says, because of your prayer, because of your unbelief. If you don't believe, you can't do something. Let's just say that you're, you're praying for an old lady and you're trying to cast out demons, and maybe, you know, it's going well, but, you know, you get to maybe one of the stronger demons in her, one of the strong men, they call it, and it won't come out. It won't come out. Why isn't it coming out? It'd be a couple things here. It could be your unbelief, or this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting, right? So that's kind of really neat. I'm going to mark that one too. I love that. I love that. Okay. Mark 8, verse 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark. Mark 8, verse 3. Okay, Jesus feeds the 4,000. Okay, I'm just going to read from the top in verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. So this is the same verse that we talked about in Matthew 15, verse 32, but in Mark now. So this is going to be interesting. I have compassion on the multitude because they now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. For divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have you had? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. And so they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dal, I don't even know what that says. Dalman. I don't even know what that says. Dalmanutha. but yeah, again, you know, part of what he's doing here is, you know, he's giving thanks to the Father. He breaks the bread and he feeds the people. And this is all done in faith. So pretty incredible what we can do with faith. The things of Jesus we can do as well. And we will do them. If we have the Holy Spirit in us, we will do those things. And that's really exciting. Okay, first. These first ones here. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5. Okay. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incon. I'm going to get the other verse, or the other version of the Bible. I have a hard time reading this. Okay. I got the NIV. This is so much easier to read. I'm having a hard time reading some of those words out loud. It's funny. I can read that fine in my head, but as soon as I try to read it out loud, I have a hard time reading that. So 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5. Oh, yeah. This is so much better. Okay. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command. I wish that all men were as I am, but each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. So this is talking about marriage. I'm not really 100% sure what he's getting at here. So I'm not going to try and break this apart. But let's just read it again here. I'm going to read. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command. I wish that all men were as I am, but each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. And this is Paul talking. He's talking about marriage. I believe that he's talking about one of the gifts he was given, that he was a man. I mean, he didn't have a wife. So that's pretty interesting. I'm trying to figure out. Yeah, it's interesting because the King James Version says, give yourselves to fasting. And then this one says, devote yourselves to prayer. But the King James Version says, give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again. This must be something about making the bonds of the marriage stronger, right? Really interesting. That Esther? Esther, where is that? I think this is Esther 4 verse 3. This is also about fasting. I don't know where Esther is. I know it's in the... I don't know if I can find it. Or no, this isn't Esther. Get this mixed up here. Oh yeah, it is. 4:35, okay. I was in the wrong spot. Okay, Esther 4 verse 3. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maid and her chamberlains came and told it to her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Like, again, talking about fasting here, what were they doing? They were weeping, they were wailing, laying in sackcloth and ashes. I mean, they went all out. But yeah, as you can see from all these scriptures, fasting is a very powerful thing. it's one of the spiritual keys I believe in the Bible that we can implement. And if we can combine fasting with speaking in tongues, I think in my mind, that's a nuclear explosion in the spiritual realm. Right? You're building yourself up on your most holy faith. Pray, like, tongues is the most powerful thing you can do, friends. I'm telling you, it's going to change your life. But it's like something that needs to be consistent. If it's not consistent, it just doesn't have the same effect. But I will say this, if you pray in tongues for an hour a day, and you can do that for a whole year, I'm telling you, you won't be the same person after that year. As God starts to work on the inside of you, He starts to clean up all those things that need to be cleaned and cleansed. So powerful, man. So powerful. So I'm going to do some prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just pray, Lord, for your presence upon everybody listening right now in Jesus' name. And we just pray, Lord, that you just please guide us. Please guide us, Father, to do your perfect will. And Father, help us to see the light in the struggle. Help us to see the hope in the darkness. Help us to see the path that you have laid before us when maybe we can't see. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I cancel all curses, versus spells, and incantations placed against anybody listening to this broadcast in Jesus' name. And Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you, Father, for the mercy you've given us. Thank you for another day on this earth, the breath in our lungs, our faith to believe in the impossible. And Father, I just pray and believe right now, Father, that your presence is falling upon the listeners right now in Jesus' name. I pray and believe this right now in Jesus' name, that they are feeling a tangible presence of the Lord right now, that they are feeling your presence upon them right now. And it's touching the very deep parts of them, that they're experiencing you in a different way they've never experienced you before. And it's going to cause them to fall in love with you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for being so awesome, so perfect. And just everything you do, Father, is amazing. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of your power and your glory and your majesty. You get all the glory, Father. You get all the glory. I love you so much, Father. And I thank you for moving so powerfully upon the audience right now and these people who have come to listen. Thank you, Father, for moving in these people's lives. I see you, Father, moving in the background, in their work life, in their family's life. And Lord, I just pray that you give us hunger for the word, a hunger for the word that we just will want to consume it like never before, but also to develop a relationship with you, a personal relationship where we get to know you as not just a friend, but like a best friend and eventually a lover, that intimate. Father, you desire this type of relationship with your people. This is why you sent your son to die on the cross. Jesus knew the Father intimately. He did the will of his Father his whole life. And Father, you desire that same walk with us. And whatever we're facing, Father, I just see, Lord, that you're going to give us the ability to see what you see. That you're going to give us a glimpse of what you see instead of what we see. We see the problems, you see the victory. So Father, we just thank you for the victory you've given us right now in our battle. We thank you that you are removing the hedges. You are removing the thorny bushes. You are removing the traps of the enemy, that you're exposing the enemy in our lives. And Lord, you're going to give us the ability to love those people, those agents of Satan that have been put in our lives to trip us up, to destroy us. But Father, you're going to cause them to look at us a different way. They're going to see the presence of God in your life. They're going to see the power and the love of Jesus Christ in your life. And it's going to cause them to pause. It's going to cause them to weep. It's going to cause them to wail. It's going to cause them to see the error in their ways. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that you are delivering some of these people who have made a huge error, who have put their will against God's people, all for their own gain, all for their own selfish gain. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for the fear of God over their heads right now. We pray for the fear of God upon all the agents of Satan that have come against me or anybody listening to this. You are protected by the Father in Jesus' name. But you have placed, Father, you are revealing to me right now that you're going to cause these agents of Satan to repent and to get saved. It's going to be miracle. It's going to be miraculous. And we may not hear about it, but we're praying and believing right now, Father, you're moving in these people's lives, that you're going to transform their lives, that you're going to put the fear of God upon their heads. And the reason for that, it's going to cause them to change. It's going to cause them to pause. It's going to cause them to see the error in their ways. We pray for a radical transformation upon these people. Yes, Father. We pray for your presence to be upon them. We pray for you to convict their hearts. We pray, Lord, that you give them a space of time to repent and to turn from their wickedness and to serve you instead. Because, Father, you've given us a will. You've given all your children a perfect and wonderful will in your kingdom. It's your will. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for your will over all these prayers right now. And Father, if any of these prayers aren't according to your will, I ask that you don't answer them. But Father, if any of these prayers are according to your will, I ask that you answer them in Jesus' name. And I just pray, Lord, that you put a hedge of protection around all the believers in Jesus right now in Jesus' name. And anybody listening to this, would put a Holy Spirit fire on them right now to protect them. And that you're going to witness the enemy fleeing from your life just by having faith in Jesus, just by having faith in the Father. And Father, if we have any sin in our lives, Father, we bring that sin to you right now. Any sin that we've committed, you know, anything, gluttony, I bring to you gluttony, Father, because I've been struggling with gluttony. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I bring gluttony to you, Father. And I say, I've been acting in gluttony lately and selfishness and worrying about myself. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask, Father, you please forgive me of this sin and also sins known and unknown, all the sins. We bring them to the foot of the cross. And I just ask you, Father, please forgive me. I ask this in Jesus' name. And I just thank you, Father, for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for washing me clean. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the great counselor. And Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for moving very powerfully over the audience. And Lord, I just ask that you just heal them. I pray for healing upon the audience right now. Whatever ailment you have, it's healed now in Jesus' name. Act in faith. It's healed now in Jesus' name. I pray and believe right now, whatever you're facing, may be cancer, it don't matter. It's healed now in Jesus' name. I come into agreement with you. It's healed now in Jesus' name. It's healed now in Jesus' name. I pray and believe the mighty God, the Ancient of Days, the Most High God, he can heal you. He has healed you. Receive that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We just thank you, Father. Thank you for your perfect will. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the Word of God. And Father, I just ask that you just guide us. You guide us throughout the week, the next week coming up, but also help us through the weekend. You know, the weekend can be a time of, it can be a time of great temptation. You know, a lot of us may have, you know, addictions with alcohol or drugs or whatever it may be. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you, Father, for taking away that temptation from us for a time. We thank you for taking it away from us to allow us to seek you on a higher level. And we just thank you, Father, for that. Thank you. And Father, in Jesus' name, we cancel all curses, versus spells, and incantations placed against you in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, that your spirit will be upon these people, that some of them will have dreams, some of them will have visions, some of them might have a personal encounter with the Lord. We just pray this right now in the name of Jesus. We pray this right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your wisdom. We just believe it. We believe it now. It's happening right now. You're experiencing the Lord right now. We believe it right now. We pray and believe right now. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. This is easy for you. This is simple. Praise God. And Lord, you said in Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. It's possible. That Goliath you're facing, you're going to chop its head off. You're going to chop its head off. You're going to grab it by the hair. And as the blood's dripping from its head, you're going to put it back into the face of the enemies and they're going to flee. That's what's going to happen in your life. You're going to be victorious in the midst of impossible circumstances. You're going to see God move in your life in such a powerful way, it's going to cause you to get on your knees and worship him. That's how powerful our God is. That's the kind of situations he puts us in when we're ready. And I believe you're ready. I believe you're ready to face that Goliath. I believe it in Jesus' name. You're going to cut the head off the enemy. And you're going to go on to higher and greater Goliaths, bigger giants. Yes, praise God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray for all the Christians around the world. And we pray for all the lost. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for the lost right now. Those that don't know you. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask that you send the Lord of the harvest into the field. To send workers into the field, because the workers are few. But, you know, the harvest is plentiful. It's very plentiful. We pray and believe, Lord, that you're gonna save these souls, that you're gonna move powerfully in their life, that whatever needs to happen, Lord, it's gonna happen. Whatever your will is, it's gonna happen. That whatever out of these unsaved people that is, you know, their names, some of them, their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's just their names haven't been written down yet. We pray for those who haven't been saved yet, but they will be saved. We pray for those people right now. You know, they may be drinking right now. They may be doing drugs. But Father, in Jesus' name, we send a warring angel to those unsaved Christians that, according to the Father's will be saved one day. And see, the Father is outside of time and space. He knows who's going to be saved and who isn't. So we pray for the ones who will be saved in the future. We pray for them right now in Jesus' name. And we pray and believe that he's going to protect them through all their circumstances, all their troubles, all their hurts, all their pains. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you just expose the enemy in this day. And we just pray, Lord, for all the leaders of the world, that you bring conviction to their heart, Lord. If they're, you appointed them, Lord. You appointed these leaders. It says in your word that, you know, you appointed these people for these times, all right? And, you know, sometimes it's a judgment on the nation when they have pushed God out of the schools and out of the government. You know, this is a judgment from the Lord. So we just pray for the borders and the border situation in the United States. The border situation is getting out of control. I mean, the border is wide open. It's wide open, friends. You don't think that, yeah, they're coming for you too. And they will one day. Telling you, get ready. Prepare. Prepare spiritually and prepare physically. Because the days of tribulation are, they don't call it the Great Tribulation for nothing. They call it the Great Tribulation because it's the greatest tribulation of all time. And it will never happen again. We're living in unforeseen times. I mean, when I think of the days we're living in right now, it really gets me to pause. I mean, I don't know if any of you have seen the interview with Tucker Carlson and Vladimir Putin of Russia, but it was a really interesting interview. I mean, he spent half an hour talking about the history of Russia to basically expose Ukraine and those that are in charge of it right now. When they talk about a new world order, it's happening before your eyes. I mean, the fall of America is happening right now before your eyes. And it's going to happen so fast, so swiftly, it's going to knock people off their feet. And there's even talk about there could be something happening, during the Super Bowl. I don't know. But, there's a very good chance that something could happen at the Super Bowl. And it just seems like everybody's kind of waiting for a big event. But I don't know if a big event will ever happen. I mean, I think one will eventually, but kind of the strategy that they're using is like death by a thousand cuts. Or, you know, there's that saying, and it goes like, if you put a frog in boiling water, it's going to jump out, right? But if you put a frog in like lukewarm water and you gradually heat it up, you'll end up boiling the frog and he'll die. And that's kind of the strategy they've been using with us, these rich men of the world. I mean, these rich men of the world, they don't want you here. They want to end the civilization. They want the world for themselves. They want to rule the world for themselves. They believe that they are so great and so awesome and so powerful and chosen for this time to be gods. They literally think they're gods. And what I say to that is straight blasphemy. That is straight blasphemy. You think that you could come against the Most High God, the creator of all the universe? You really think you're going to win? You've already lost. You've already lost. It's already finished. You just don't see it yet. You know, they got these underground bunkers. They got security at the wazoo. They got whole armies behind them to protect them. I mean, some of them, I'm sure they have all kinds of security measures, thinking of every single thing that could possibly happen. But you've forgotten one thing. God knows. The Father God knows your last day on earth. He knows the last breath that you will breathe. So I say to these rich men of the world, repent. Repent while you have time. Because the time's coming where you won't be able to anymore. I believe right now is a time where you are being given a chance to repent. And I just pray, that the Lord shows up to you in a dream or a vision to warn you. Maybe give you a glimpse of hell. Maybe give you a glimpse of heaven to shake you, to wake you up. Wouldn't it be something if, like, one of these powerful leaders, like one of the tippy top ones, I'm talking top dogs, I'm talking one of the 13 satanic bloodlines, like one of those ones. Wouldn't that be something if one of them got saved? Wouldn't that change the game? And then God protected him or her to give a testimony of all the things that they know. That would be incredible. And I believe it's possible. I pray and believe it's possible. And I want to pray and believe that right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray and believe, Father, that you're going to wake, that you are going to move, that you're going to save one of these rich men or women, that they will repent. And during this time of repentance, they will reveal all the secrets that these World Economic Forum has for the world. I'm telling you, friends, these people are coming for you. They don't want you alive. I mean, they even say that, you know, cow farts are hurting the climate. Give me a break. Are you kidding me? I mean, there's mounds of evidence to say climate change is the biggest farce out there. The biggest farce. And it's one of the things they're using to deceive the people. I mean, the people have been so dumbed down, so institutionalized, they believe everything the university tells them, everything the college tells them, even when they're wrong. That's the thing, is a true scholar will listen to both sides of the argument. That's the problem with this movement. They don't want to listen to both sides. They've already made their minds up. You're wrong, they're right. And I'll tell you where the world is going. This is a little disturbing, so any young people listening to this, please turn this off right now. But I literally saw a court case between two men, or I'm not even sure. But so one of them cut off their, not the main part, but let's just say the sack, and he put it in, I guess, the freezer or something to preserve it, or the fridge. And then these two men, they broke up, and this other man is pleading his case. He's like, you know, this guy, he cut off his, you know what, and it's like, it was in my freezer, so I threw it out. So this other man that cut it off says to the jury, you know, I want compensation. I mean, the stuff that's coming on the world, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say to it. And I'm not mocking you. It's just, it perplexes me that this is even something that we're dealing with. You know, this is going to cause us to make a stand in our own lives, to stand for righteousness, to stand for God versus stand with what man is doing. I mean, man is really doing some really weird stuff right now. I don't even know what to say to it anymore. I'm just thankful I don't have any kids. As the stuff I've been seeing lately on X, is straight up disturbing. But as much as I've seen that stuff, the more it causes me to get into my word, to preach the gospel, to warn the people. Time is coming to an end. You know, the time of being safe as Christians is coming to an end. And I can feel it in the spiritual realm. I can feel it coming. I can feel the storm. It's already up in the sky. It's already raining, you know. The first parts of this storm is already happening. It's already manifesting. So who are you going to be in this battle of history? Who are you going to be? Are you going to be a victor? Or are you going to be a victim? Because my Bible says that I'm going to be a victor. Because through Jesus Christ, we are heirs to the throne. But there's a price to pay. It's a big price. It's our lives. But if you give your lives to the Lord, if you pick up your cross and follow him, you will have eternal life, my friends. He promises this. He promises us that in his word. And the words of God are truth. And people don't even want to hear the truth anymore. They would rather believe a lie and fables. That's where we're at in history. Lawlessness. In all forms. It's happening right now. Just incredible. Anyways, I'm going to end this broadcast. Thank you for showing up. You know, have faith. Read your Bible. Pray lots. Get under the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, get that relationship going with you, with Jesus. You know, talk to him. Talk to him like you're talking, you know, talk to your friend, you know. He's your friend. Build that relationship before times get too rough. But yeah, I'm going to end this broadcast. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for listening. Peace out.